And I asked her to tell me a story that I had heard before. I guess if she knew that I was going to preach on it, she probably wouldn't have told me the story. But it was a story of a wristwatch. Seems that my grandfather was a bit of a fox hunter, and he bought this foxhound, little pup. He told mother that if she'd take care of that little pup, he'd buy her a wristwatch. That's a very simple little illustration, and I doubt there are very many adults in the audience who don't understand what she'd have to do to get that wristwatch. In fact, most of the kids who are probably second or third grade even understand what would have to happen in order for her to get that wristwatch. But that's not the point this morning. The point is that this little simple illustration is also a lesson in faith. You know, we look at the end sometimes and don't talk about what happens in the beginning. So if you will, let's talk about faith for just a little bit this morning. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the writer there defines faith for us. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now when he says faith is the substance, he's talking about faith being the foundation. That faith is the reason, that faith is the basis. But he says it's the basis for hope. Well, if you go to the dictionary and you look up this word hope, you'll find a couple other interesting things. That hope is desire coupled with expectation. Now, a lot of us have desire, and a lot of times we call that wishes. You know, I wish for this, I wish for that. But just wishing doesn't make hope. You have to have some expectation, if you will, of that desire to come true. And evidently, I would suspect, and didn't ask the question of mother, but somewhere along the line, she's probably expressed a wish for that wristwatch. Otherwise, Granddad may not have known what she really wanted, or he wouldn't know what little thing to try to motivate her to take care of that dog. But it's more than just a wish. It has to be coupled with expectation. Now, what is expectation? You know, we talk about a woman who is pregnant as being expecting. And so we understand what that is. But we also understand that once she delivers, she isn't expecting anymore. So expectation has something to do with events that have not yet taken place, that have not yet come into being. Now, I suspect that Mother didn't have a wristwatch when Granddad says, I'll give you one if you take care of my dog. It was something that was yet to come into the future. But at the time of the promise, there was expectation. Well, was there? You know, we just kind of sit back again and do things that kind of automatically, things that you know, we don't really think about, but did she really expect to get that watch when the promise was made? Well, yes, if two things had taken place. And this leads us into the idea of evidence. When the writer of Hebrews says faith is the evidence of things not yet seen, or the evidence of things not seen, then we have to look at something. So we understand what evidence is. Evidence are facts and observations by which we draw conclusions. You know, we've all watched Owen Marshall and Perry Mason and Matlack and some of these other courtroom dramas where the lawyers are presenting evidence. And what they want to do, they want the jury to take this evidence and draw the conclusion. And they'll come to some conclusion, either guilty or not guilty. But in this matter of expectation, there is evidence also. And the evidence in this particular case points to two things, and that's resources and credibility. Now, you know, and again, you've got a picture, the young child sitting here and a promise being made to them, and what do they have? Well, they've got trust in the Father, but they also can look around and see what resources are there. For example, in Mother's case, there was some land, there was houses, there were some crops, there were a few animals. And really, a little wristwatch really wouldn't dent those resources all that much, would it? And you look at that, and yes, there is a good possibility, by what I see, that the resources are there to get me that wristwatch. Now, on the other hand, there are times when the resources aren't there. And again, every year or so, a mother may come to me and say, what would you like to have for your birthday? What would you like to have for your anniversary? And the last few years, she probably got the same response out of me. I want $1 million and a carload of spending money. Now, do I expect to get that? No, that's the resources aren't there. I'm being facetious because that would tax the resources. That's something that even if she wanted to, she couldn't provide. So I don't have but about that much expectation of getting that $1 million in a carload of spending money. But if I ask for a wristwatch, I might have some, you know, a little higher hopes of getting something like that. And certainly she would have had too. So in this observation then, she saw that there were sufficient resources around here to provide that wristwatch. But the other side of that is the credibility. Was my grandfather a man of his word? Did he fulfill his promises? Or was he a rascal that sometimes he would fulfill them and sometimes he wouldn't, and sometimes he would make them and not fulfill them just for the fun of it? Well, you know, girls and boys, you know, look at their fathers and things like that as men of great credibility. And we never really think about going through this analysis portion, and we just automatically think that when Dad promises us something, it's going to happen. But as you can see, there are some things behind that that we have to have. There has to be some resources, and there has to be some credibility. And when those things are there, then expectation is there, and expectation coupled with desire forms the hope. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God, now notice this, must believe that he is. And that's what we're talking about, that God has the resources, God has the credibility, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we're evaluating God, so to speak, in our faith because we understand again that he has resources and he has capability and he has credibility, and he will fulfill the promises which he has given. Now, as we look at the story that was just told about Mother, did she have a desire? Evidently she did. Did the promise come from her father? You betcha. Did he have sufficient resources to provide the watch? Yeah. You know, most of us would. And was he a man of his word? And if the answer to all these questions is yes, then we have the expectation produced, and the faith is built on a firm foundation. Now you remember reading in Matthew chapter 7 about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. When you have all of these things coming together and God has made his promise, you can build your faith on a rock and not being built on the sand. The second thing we want to notice from this little story is the origin of faith. And again, we start out, faith has to have some sort of desire with it. But in order to be hope, it has to be coupled with expectation. But where does this come from? Is the fact that you have a desire or a wish, is that faith? Can you say that is faith? No, we can't. But expectation. Now, when did my mother's desire for this wristwatch become expectation? Now, think about it for a minute. When did she expect that? It's when the promise was made. When my grandfather spoke to her, and most of you that have been around for a while know exactly where I'm going to go with this one. We're going to go over Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing. So the faith that is produced by this promise, the faith that is produced by these words are the origin. That's where it begins. Once the promise is made, once the words have been spoken, then faith begins. Can there be expectation prior to such a promise? In this case, no. Sometimes they say, well, you know, she's going out and got a job, bought her own wristwatch. Well, that's really not by faith, is it? That's by her own, you know, ingenuity. But could this desire have become faith through the words of another? Suppose, for example, that one of my mother's uncles came to her and said, Louise, see, now if you go take care of that dog over there, my brother John is going to buy you a wristwatch. Now, what kind of expectation is that? Is there any expectation that that's going to happen? Well, I guess it depends on what kind of influence he would have on his brother. But we got to understand that, yeah, she could feel some expectation, but is that feeling based on any kind of evidence? Because you have to ask yourself the question now, does this uncle have control of the resources? Does this uncle, or is this uncle able to bind his promise on his brother? And the answer to both these questions is no, because my grandfather was in control of the resources, and he was the one that was credible. So somebody else coming along and saying, well, you know, he's going to do this if you do this, and it's not from him, your expectation is just about that big. So faith cannot be produced from that. So we need to understand again that there are many people out there who say God has spoken to them. But we need to find out if God said it before we can put faith in it, before we can put trust in it, before we have any expectation of it happening. And again, some of you have watched the TBN where this R.W. Schembach and others come out and says, you send in $2,000 and you're going to be debt-free. God said it. Where did God say it? What kind of expectation can you have? Does R.W. Schembach have enough money to pay off my debts and everybody else that he's talking to? Absolutely not. Unless I can find it in God's Word, it's not going to happen. Now, some people may get, you know, a raise and be able to pay their own debts off, but it's not going to happen in the way they're talking about it. So we need to understand that only true expectation comes from the Word, and it comes from the Word of one who is a benefactor and the one who is in control of the resources. And hence, when you look at the remainder of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, remember I just quoted the first part of it, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's talking about the only faith, the only expectation you and I can have is what God has promised us and not what someone else has promised us. And again, the origin of this faith is in the Word. It's not in the emotion. True faith is a conclusion of intellect and not the conclusion of emotion. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't say that I went out of here this morning saying that there's no emotion in having faith. There is. There should be. There must be. But it's the faith that produces the emotion and not vice versa. In all the things that the Bible talks about, it's not there to generate or to prick your emotions. It's to prick your intellect. It's to point you to the conclusion, the obvious conclusion that you need to come to. You can't be emotionless and understand that Christ was nailed on the cross for your sins. But you know, the Bible says that if Jesus were not the Son of God, we'd be miserable, wouldn't we? It'd just be another man out there nailed to the cross. So they're appealing to your intellect. They're showing you evidence. The whole Old Testament points to the fact that Jesus was God's Son. And now when they crucify the Son of God, that takes care of the sins. That's a conclusion of intellect. It's not the pain and anguish and suffering that you see and feel and are sympathetic with that produces that. Because there wasn't a man crucified under Roman times that you couldn't feel the same sympathy for. But there was only one of them that was God's Son. So the evidence there is to point you to this situation. Now we're back to the beginning. As I said, there were a number of you that would understand very quickly, very easily, how mother was going to get a watch. Even some of these young children understand it. But how is she going to get the watch? Again, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the writer there says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, we've taken a look at faith and how faith is the basis for hope, how faith is the evidence of things that are not seen, how it originates from God, and without this direction, we can't please God. Now, some people will say, well, you know, God ought to be pleased with this. We'll put this organ over here in the corner, and I like it, so God will like it. Well, can we find it in the book? And some people come over here and say, well, we can contribute to this organization, we can contribute to that organization, because it's doing all of these good works, and yeah, certainly it is. The people are benefiting from it, but Can I find it in the book? So one of the things we need to understand that these words in the book is that the trust is in the words as well as in the individual or as well as in the benefactor behind them. So we need to have these things in order to please God. If my grandfather had not told my mother what to do to get that wristwatch, she could have done anything. And then maybe she'd get the watch, maybe she wouldn't, depending on just how granddad happened to feel at the time. But the point of it is, without this direction, then we cannot please God. And that's what he's saying here. But also notices that in order to get that wristwatch, she must have the confidence that her father was the rewarder. And this is what Hebrews says, that he is a rewarder of them. Here again, we believe that he is. We believe that he has the power. We believe that he had the resources. And we believe that he is going to carry out the promise that he made. And here is the faith that's there. But notice also, he says, how was the reward gotten? It says, those who diligently seek him. And here again, I think a lot of people have missed this point because it says that there's something that we have to do. People say, well, you won't be saved by works. Well, is seeking a work? Seeking's an action. You can define it as a work. We got to seek God. In other words, our faith is useless if we're not able to seek him. But if we do what he says, we do what he wants, then we will, of course, be able to please God. Turn to James chapter 2, verses 14. Here again, James makes this point perhaps better than I can. He says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Here's the man who believes in the promise, believes in the resources, believes in the power, but isn't willing to do anything, isn't willing to take any action. It says, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, if faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So what James is saying here, it doesn't make any difference how much mental assent, how much agreement you give to the words of the Scripture. If you don't put them to practice, he says, faith is dead. Faith is not there. Notice that when we went back and we talked about the wristwatch, the general statement to my mother was, if you will take care of my dog, then I will provide the reward. And this is the same format that God has done. God has told us that there are going to be certain things that he's going to do if you will do certain things. So here is God's part and here is man's part. And we need to understand that the faith without these works is a dead faith. Now, again, it's not the works that we think of, but it's the works that God has thought of. It's not a matter of what we dream up, it's a matter of what he said. You know, we're willing to take God's word and believe the promises. But you know, when you look at the promises of God, the conditions are right there in the same passage. The things that he wants you to do is right there in the same paragraph. How can I believe in the promise and ignore the word? Isn't the same place? Isn't the same word? Doesn't it have the same inspiration? Yet people will cling to the promise, but they'll deny the conditions. They will, in fact, deny the word of God. The same word which speaks of the promises also talks of the word required. Now, let me give you another example. Suppose in our little story here that mother was afraid of dogs. And she says, well, I really don't like those dogs. Maybe I'll just feed the chickens instead. Now, do you suppose when it came time to go down to the little jewelry store and get that wristwatch, she's going to get one? You can imagine my grandfather sitting there and said, no. I told you to feed the dog. You didn't feed the dog. You fed the chickens. Now, it was nice of you to feed the chickens, and I really appreciate that. But that's not what I told you in order to get a wristwatch. And as I thought about that scenario, I thought about Matthew chapter 7. You remember where they're all up there and all these people are saying, well, what do you mean depart? Haven't we done all these many mighty works? And Jesus says, "Depart, I never knew you." He said, "Yeah, it's nice that you did all these works, but you weren't obedient. You didn't do what I told you to do. So now you're not going to get the reward." If she doesn't do the things that are there, and we don't do the things that are there, then we are not obedient to God's word. We don't have the living faith that is necessary to save us. And if I got down to the point and I asked even some of these little kids, what did she have to do to get the wristwatch? And the answer would be, take care of the dog. And we understand that. And it's the same thing in the New Testament. When we're talking about faith, when we're talking about things that will save us, we've got to take care of the dog. Now let's put this in application, and the lesson will be yours. Do you have the desire to go to heaven? Yeah, that's where it all starts. If you don't have the desire, if you don't have the wish, then all of the talking, all of the preaching, all of the word that's in there isn't going to do you a bit of good, because you don't want to go. If you find somebody that has a desire to go to heaven, you can take them to the Word of God and you can teach them, and they're going to be obedient. But the faith originates in the Word. And God has spoken to us. God has promised things to us. Remember, Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who in sundry times and divers manners spake to the prophets by the fathers, and now in these last days has spoken unto us through His Son. You know, He's talked to us. He hasn't left us on our own. He has given us everything that's in this book to originate our faith from. Not from what men think, but it's there. And in that book, in John chapter 14, He says, "In My Father's house are many mansions." Here's a promise that says God is going to reward us, but there are things that we have to do. But in order to do this, we must first hear what God has to say. Hear not only His promises, but hear the conditions. And once we hear the promises, once we hear the conditions, once we have the evidence, then we can come to the conclusion. I think, honestly, if we look at these things in a proper perspective, we need to understand very clearly that God wants us to go to heaven. If we don't get there, it's going to be our fault. And so He has spoken to us, and He has spoken these promises. And we have certainly decided to, or can look about us, if you will, and see the evidence of God. The very creation that we live in is evidence that God is evidence of God's power, is evidence of God's resources. And the Old Testament, as we read it, and some of the secular history, is there to show us that God is not slack concerning His promises. Remember Hebrews chapter 2 again, that said every sin and indeed got its just recompense of reward, every transgression. And everything that God ever promised in the Old Testament came true, whether good or bad. So we have evidence of resources, we have evidence of credibility. And now what we must do is we must believe. You know, here we are, we got to hear or believe. We must believe, and believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Now, are there any conditions to receiving these promises? And yes, there is. We need to repent. We've got to turn around. We've got to quit doing the things that are wrong, do the things that are right. We've got to be able to confess that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God. And then there is baptism. Now, I suspect there's some of you out there that may be afraid of dogs. And, you know, I really don't want to feed that dog. But that's the only way to get the wristwatch. And it's the same way here. People say, "Oh, what's baptism? It's nothing." God said it. It's a condition He placed on the receiving the promises. So what's the big question? What's the big problem? Don't know, but people still have a problem with it. And then finally, again, we've got to take care of the dog. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and that ye shall be saved through tribulation 10 days. Now, notice, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." You know, we understand the faithfulness from the idea of feeding the dog. Dogs need to be fed regularly and continually in order to be brought up. And it's the same thing here. Now, some of you may have started on that journey and you may have fallen away. You may have quit feeding the dog a little bit. But God also provides a way of repentance and turnaround from that. Where is your faith today? Do you believe that God is? Do you believe that He has the power? Do you believe that He's promised us a home in heaven? If you do, we ask you to respond to the invitation. If you've started on that journey and you've fallen away, we want you to get back on. Whatever your desire be, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?